Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
All right. We're back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotel for Brother Ghani and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio family. Thanks for joining us. We back again another week, hopefully to share constructive dialogue with the family. We at Collective Minds say we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So, we here. We pulled up. We in March. Spring is upon us. It is coming, you know, very soon. It seems like this year been kind of flying by. We already at March. Before you know it, we'll be in June, then Halloween and Christmas, and then we back to New Year. So, things are moving along. We here. We got a good topic lined up for the fam today. Hit us up because Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. But before we get started, Queen Rigel, how was your week, and do you have any announcements for us?
Thanks for asking. I had a great week, very productive, as always. I think just being productive is very, very important. But I had a great week, and no announcements other than just announcing my great week.
That's right. Let's get it. That's what's up. Brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And you got any announcements for us?
Yes, sir. I had a good week as well. Only announcement I want to make is, I want to give a shout out to one of our pioneers in the Muslim community, Brother Sultan Muhammad, who turned 90 years of age. They had a celebration for him yesterday, and the brother was in good spirits, walking well, got all his teeth, got all his, you know, faculties. He ain't on no medication, and it was a wonderful sight to behold. You see a 90-year-old brother putting it down who's done so much for his community. A short story I share is I heard through the grapevine that this brother acted as, so to speak, a body double for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad back in the day. If there was a threat on Elijah Muhammad's life, they would use Brother Sultan as a distraction. You know, it's like a body double.
Wow.
So he put his life on the line for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's one story that I heard about the brother. But, shout out to him. Happy 90th birthday.
He's from St. Louis, or he lives here in St. Louis, or he's from somewhere else?
Yeah, he's here in St. Louis.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. Yes, indeed. Peace to that elder, that gentleman. But 90 years, that's a long time. He done seen a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. So. He walked the equipment. The community came out to, like I said, to support him and wish him well and give him an original salute, which is what, you know, we do in the, as Fruit of Islam. We give soldiers the original salute. But it was people from the community, people from different organizations had lined up the street, both sides of the street. Now I'm gonna say the name of the street. I know everybody gonna know what I'm talking about. But on San Francisco And he walked, he had a police escort that brought him to the event, and he was able to walk from Geraldine and San Francisco to Kings Highway in San Francisco. That's about two city blocks. And he walked, and everybody gave him a salute. I mean, like I say, man, it's amazing. You know, the brother's blessed. You know, how many 90-year-old people you know that can walk that far? And like I say, got all they faculties and they good common sense. So, you know, God
right.
bless the brother.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Yes, indeed. So we here, family. I did want to ask y'all before we get started if y'all got a chance to see the Coming to America drop, the sequel to Coming to America, which I believe dropped in 88 or 89, you know, I guess, 30 years, almost 30 years ago or something like that, or a little bit over 30 years. But anyway, they dropped the sequel the other day. And did y'all get a chance to check that out?
Yeah, I did. I watched it. I had to watch it in two stages. The first night that it aired or came out, rather, I watched it. It was late. I got in late that night. But I started it, and then I finished it off the next morning. But, yeah, I'm thankful that it wasn't as bad as I was concerned about. I was wary,
right,
like you always
right.
have to do, them doing a part two of a movie that was already a great movie. So I was already wary that they was, you know, risking the chance of doing it again. But then when I later on heard the storyline, I was very disappointed. And I was just really concerned that, you know, it just wasn't going to be right. You know, so after watching it, though, it was okay. It was better than what I was concerned that it would be. So I will say I'll give it about a 7.5, 8.
Ah, okay, yeah. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. Did you get to see it?
Man, I tried to watch it yesterday, last night, through probably about 15 minutes of it, and I was out cold. Now, I can't necessarily say I'm going to blame the movie. It could have been just on my end because I had just ate, and I ate a feast. I ate good. And I tried to watch it after that, and, man, I was gone. So it didn't hold me. It didn't keep me up. You know, so I'll probably
try to
watch it again. Try to watch it again. But I've heard that it's just okay. People who've seen it, you know, I ain't missing nothing if I don't watch it. So, I tried. I gave it a chance.
Right. This is what I would say. I think it's a great standalone movie. If you can't go in it thinking about the last movie, thinking it's going to be as funny as the last one, because it's not even close. But as a movie on its own, I thought it was a good movie. And Leslie Jones did a great job. Like, they had everybody in this movie. Wesley Snipes, Morgan Freeman, most of the original cast came back. So, you know, they did a great job. And the other thing I liked is the fact that it was just a lot of black actors in there. I mean, you had beautiful black people on the screen, you know, doing their thing. It wasn't a whole bunch of shucking and jiving, but you had some prestige. You had basically an entire black cast, and you got to see beautiful, melanated people doing their thing. And I think it's a great movie for the kids to see, you know, especially if you have young kids. It's PG-13, so I think, you know, for the most part, kids can watch it and whatnot. And I thought that part was great. You know, just that alone, just the amount of black people and how, you know, how they showed it. They didn't really have no, you know, how they be throwing them LGBTQ scenes in there and all that type of foolishness. This was just straight up comedy. You know what I'm saying? It was just a good, wholesome family comedy that I think people can enjoy. Like I say, don't compare it to the last Coming to America, but by itself,
I thought it was
a great
movie. Yeah.
It
definitely was.
Yeah, so it was like,
Everybody.
Yeah,
was in
definitely
there.
A lot of characters. Yeah, everybody was in that. Definitely a lot of characters. It was kind of, it gave me the feeling of a kind. You know, I mean, it wasn't as big of a, you know, budget and big theatrics like Black Panther was, but the whole look was really, it gave me, it took me back to that Wakanda feel. So, yeah, I thought it was dope. You know, I would recommend, you know, folks checking it out if you get a chance. It's on Amazon Prime. So if you get a chance, yeah, I would recommend checking that out, you know. But I digress. We back, family. So this show is, you know, this is part of our, I like to call our healing within our community. Like, how do we move forward? We know that Black people, the Black community has, you know, we've had some trauma and some issues in our community that have yet to be dealt with. So we kind of want to start the conversation here at Collective Minds. And this one pertains to the crack era, right? Because we know the devastation, you know, the 80s and 90s that we've seen when the whole crack wave and then the subsequent crime deal and all that stuff. So what we're seeing is a lot of, you know, the OGs and, you know, former drug dealers and gangbangers, they're now starting to come home, you know, from doing these long bids in the penitentiary. You see what I'm saying? They're coming home and to a completely different world. Because remember, like, if they're locked up in the 80s and 90s, that's like 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? So they've done their time and, you know, they're coming home. And we're asking, do these people, do the former drug dealers, former gangbangers, former stick-up kids, whoever, the people that was in the neighborhood, do they owe the Black community an apology? And, you know, should they be doing things to atone for the damage that they had done to the community? Because we know the story of crack and the devastation is done. We know the story of gangs and how it started, you know, basically on the West Coast when you talk about the Crips and Bloods and whatnot. Chicago has a gang as well. But we know how these gangs, how they basically just started to migrate to these different cities in America, causing, you know, a lot of destruction. In hindsight, as we see, you know, as we look back and see, we know that these things cause our community a lot of destruction. So we're asking here on Collective Minds, do you believe that these people, you know, that are in the community, do you think they owe the community an apology? And how do they go about, you know, righting their wrongs or correcting or atoning for the things that they've done? And this conversation kind of started because I've been, you know, on YouTube watching some videos from brothers like Big U, who was like, he was like a big Crip out in Cali. I think he was like Corrupt's manager at one point. He was also Nipsey Hussle's manager, and he ran with Suge Knight and Death Row and whatnot. But his story is interesting because he did a bid and he came home, and now he's saying that he's changed and he's trying to mentor young kids, you know, to do the right thing and move differently, and just his experience, he's trying to help them, not help the kids or the youth come up today not to make those same mistakes and whatnot. And it's a lot of brothers, like I say, that have been coming home. They've been doing interviews. And that's another question. Should these people even be celebrated? You know what I'm saying? They did a bid in jail. Like, should they be celebrated? You know, they coming home, you know, to big fanfare, big bags, and, you know, all these different things. So, you know, that's the other thing. Should these people be celebrated, or should we be celebrating other people in our community or whatnot? But, again, this is the conversation we want to have. Hit us up here at Collective Minds at 929-477-1697. And we'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. But like we always do. We're going to hear from Queen Rigel. Now, do you think, you know, the former drug dealers, gangbangers, even some of the rappers from the 80s and 90s who, you know, some would say glorified the violence and glorified the drug culture, glorified the gang culture and all that. Do you think these people who participated in this street culture owe the community an apology for the destruction that was caused from that type of lifestyle?
Okay, well, I think this is an interesting question. And I think, you know, what, like anybody, if you do something that's damaging to yourself or others around you or out of order and you create a, you know, an unpleasant result, then it's just you know, a moral standard, you would think, to a person that generally wants to change if they can recognize what they did was an error or was an unpleasant result. Just being a human being, you would like to think that their apology would be nothing more than Jim recognizing it, understanding what was wrong, and to change so that it's not continued to happen. And to also be able to give back into the community, maybe being a leader or a mentorship position or a mentor role for the younger generation that's coming up under them so that they don't make those same types of mistakes. You know, I think that's just standard. You know, if a person truly wants to make a change or if they truly remorseful for what they've done, then I think that this should be natural steps that should happen, you know. And that to me is an apology if they actually change, you know, because everybody won't
right.
be in a position, everybody won't be in a position to grab a big microphone.
Really? Is that somebody back there snoring? Hold up. You hear that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I totally do. I didn't hear it.
All right, we gonna keep it going.
I do hear some. I'm hearing some clicking. I'm hearing a bunch of clicking though.
Everybody's not in a position to. I don't hear any clicking. I hear some.
No clicking.
I hear some.
Right.
I
can tell if it was snoring.
Right.
That's a deep breathing.
But, yeah, everybody's not in a position to grab a big microphone and speak to everybody. So our actions have to be the loudest thing. You know, it has to be our loudest voice and lead
they
by
say,
example.
Not to cut you off real quick, but they say the best apology is change behavior. So
yeah, exactly.
You're right on that. Yeah.
So I think that would be it, you know. But we can't just talk about that because each individual has their own, you know, have to be held accountable for what is done. But we still also have to look at if they owe an apology, the creators of the condition as well also owe an apology as well because they still part of, I guess, like a pipeline, you know. So it's still a reason that they may have chose to go the route that they went. We know the conditions that was placed upon the community and the push to make it what it is, you know. So they also are victimized as well. So I don't know if it's fair to just say that they are the only ones that owe the apology, if that's the case, you know, because they were also being used as well, you know, for an agenda. And
right.
You know,
right.
So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I was going to say, too, is That's why I started off as this is an eternal thing, because we can deal with them because we know, you know, how they played the game. It was basically a setup, how they used drugs and the crime bills to lock up as many black men as possible. And they also used the music as well, you know, to perpetuate that lifestyle upon young and impressionable, you know, kids in the hood, like black kids growing up. So we know the game with that, but I kind of wanted to deal with each other as opposed to, because we can deal with them and say, yeah, they do owe an apology, but, you know, we got to deal with each other because we could be old and gray before they even apologize, or they might apologize and still do something else. Like, but I kind of wanted to deal with each other and how do we resolve it.
Well, then that's my each other answer.
Yeah. So, because we are seeing, you know, we grew up in that kind of that era, the 80s, 90s, and all that, and we're seeing the results. Like, crack was a major hit to most inner cities, to most cities in America. It was like a nuclear bomb. It was like a biological weapon that just came and decimated the community. It's like before crack and after crack. You know what I'm saying? That's the timeline of how it go and the amount of changes that the crack era brought. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that we got to deal with on our own, and we got to address. And like I say, brothers are coming home, and they are trying to address those issues and correct it. But do they just need to, like, the leaders of whoever these different gangs and factions and drug lords, do they need to come together and just issue an apology, go on a speaking tour, a lecture tour, something like that, to get these kids on the right track and kind of, you know, explain to them as they would do if they was mentoring at a juvenile hall or whatnot. You know, so that was kind of my thinking on that. But, you know, I digress. But did you want to say something else?
Nah, that was it.
All right, yeah, indeed. Yes, our brother Mufasa. Now, what do you think, brother? Because I know you was like me. You listen to the music, and you know that's kind of you know, our rites of passage was just kind of, you know, being kind of out there, being wild. You know, we young men, and we growing up. And we got influenced by a lot of things, some negative, some good, you know what I'm saying? So with all that being said, do you think the former drug dealers, gangbangers, rappers who glorified that lifestyle, do you think they owe the community an apology?
Well, I guess first I want to say I really don't think the apology is necessary. It wouldn't hurt to give an apology, and I would never steer a brother or sister away from trying to do good in the community. But the way I look at it as a straight up apology, like, if you've been gone that long, it's a totally new, different generation that's out here, and you apologizing, the new generation, and they don't even care. They don't even respect. You know, they don't respect the older generation. So an apology is not necessary. But like I say, I wouldn't take that away from anybody who wanted to come out and do some good for the community. Now, I say, hey, look, do some good work. You know, join an organization. Get involved with the youth to try to steer them in another direction. Steer them away from going down the path that you went down, and I think that would be beneficial. But to just, you know, say I apologize, no. Some people can say, look, I apologize, and then they move on, and you know they don't do nothing. You know, actions speak louder than words. So me myself, I prefer you keep your apology. I want to see some action. If you're gonna do something, you know, do some action. Try to keep the youth from going down that same path. Because, you know, we all start, just like young people are doing some wild stuff now. We was doing wild stuff at that age also. You know, not everybody, but, you know, for the most part, some of us were. So,
right.
Yeah, don't apologize. Just get hands on and say, look, I'm older. I'm more mature now. I'm more wiser. You know, I didn't think about what damage I was doing to the community back then. I was only thinking about trying to make some money to take care of myself and possibly take care of my family. So, you know, I'm not really, I don't think an apology is necessary, but I would like to see people who do come up, who have been down that path, come out and try to do good in the community by, like, say, stirring the youth in another direction, or community service, or join the organization on that, something like that. So that's where I'm at with that.
Gotcha. Real talk. That's real. Yeah, we all get to the call lines in 1 second. I did want to ask y'all this, because recently a rapper came home from jail by the name of Bobby Shmurda. And, you know, because I never want to see, you know, no black man in jail, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of felt good that the brother was coming home. I'm like, you know, I heard the little song, but I'm not a super fan. But, you know, I like some of the songs that Bobby Shmurda put out. His other partner, Rowdy Rebel, who's another guy that came home. And so my question is, because they deal with the New York drill music. I don't know if y'all are familiar with drill music, but, you know, it's a music out of Chicago where really you getting on these records and you going against your ops. You're talking about bodies, you know, you basically killing them on wax and in real life. You know, it's a type, that type of music. So my question is, this brother just came home. Do y'all think when they come home, should they be celebrated the way they're celebrated, or should we take another look as that's not the way to go? Because now, because he celebrated, a young kid looking at that like, jail is cool. I do my time. I don't snitch. I come home. I'm a legend. You know what I'm saying? On top of jail kind of being a rites of passage for young black men, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? When you really think about it, that is crazy that some young boys, and I kind of felt like that at a way where you got to go to jail just to experience manhood. Because it's like, you know, I'm seeing my uncles come home. You got cousins coming home, going to jail, juvenile and whatnot. It's like, what is going on in this jail that everybody's going? You know what I'm saying? What is popping? That kind of thing. But it's sort of like a rites of passage. And they looking at this kid, Bobby Shmurda, coming home. He getting big jewelry. He getting picked up in a private jet. Whoop-de-whoop. You know what I'm saying? And he's being celebrated. So the kid on the street, like, yeah, if I'm on the street, I might rap a little bit, but I put in some work. You know, I could come home and be a legend too. So in a nutshell, my question to both of y'all is, do y'all think a person like that or anybody that's been locked up, should they come home? And should we be celebrating them like they're, you know, like, I guess like their role models are, if that makes sense. Should they be celebrated? I just put it like that. Do y'all think they should be celebrated when they come home?
Well, I think like with all things, it's important that when we do things, we use wisdom, you know, moderation, you know, how we do things is important. So depending on, you know, the substance, you know, is going to determine, you know, how effective it is as far as, like, you know, say if you can be thankful that someone made it out alive,
right,
you know.
Right.
You know, so it depends on the degree of, you know, I look at everything in a spectrum. So it depends on how much of a celebration are you doing. Like, what are you actually celebrating? Those types of things I think are very important, you know, because to be happy that someone came out alive, maybe still in their right state of mind, celebrating a second chance, a new opportunity, a second opportunity. Those things are okay. So I think it's the level in, or the degree in which we do things and how we do it. So I think it's important that we do things in a certain way if we want a certain result. So if we're looking to have a result where we are enticing other kids or young or the younger generation to think that this is cool, then no, that's not good. We're not doing, I don't think that that's an effective way of doing things. So I think it's how it's done. You know, you can still be happy for someone and still get a cake and invite people over, you know, have a dinner and still be thankful and celebrating the arrival of someone coming home after being gone a long time. But if you want to say, okay, well, is it okay to glorify what they did, then of course that's not good. So I think how it's placed, things, sometimes we certain things are misplaced and it's out of order. So if you celebrating what they done, if they done something, you know, their actions was kind of criminal and hurtful and just, you know, kind of rude or unpleasant to other folks, then no, you don't celebrate those types of things. That's just retarded, you know. But if your mentality is that, okay, I'm a changed person, hopefully, I'm thankful that I made it out, I'm glad to be out, I'm using this as a second chance, I want to be a different person, I want to do things differently, and that's, yeah, I think that's safe, you know. So that's my way of answering that question, because I think it's important, basically, my overall message is basically that it's important how we apply things and, you know, and how we do things. I think we just need to be careful and use wisdom with what we do and how we do things, and it'll be, you know, hopefully it'll give us the best results.
Right. Yes, indeed. And our brother Mufasa, I believe you're somewhat familiar with Bobby Smurda. And, again, I was happy, you know, the brother had came home. I kind of felt like I was home. Like, I was celebrating him too. But then on the other hand, I started thinking, I'm like, well, dang, should we really be celebrating? I mean, we should, like Queen Rigel said, be happy that, you know, the brother made it out. And, you know, he's alive. He gets to be with his family. Y'all, that's good. But I'm thinking as a culture, should we be celebrating these people? So that same question goes to you, my brother Mufasa. Do you think, you know, we should be celebrating these guys coming home like this? Brother Mufasa, you with us? You might be muted.
No, you know.
You said that.
Okay. But, yeah, I, you know, I just think it's important. But I understand the concern, you know, and why you pose that type of question, because we should be mindful in how we do things. We should apply wisdom to what we're doing, like I said earlier, to get the best results, you know. So I understand the question. So, yeah, to that, no, I don't think it's cool to uplift someone's unpleasant or bad behavior. That's not cool, you know. But if someone makes a mistake and they overcome the mistake, then I think it's within reason to encourage them, you know, and celebrate that, you know, a second chance.
Right. Yeah, that's right, exactly.
But if Bobby Smurda come home and you give him a big cake with guns on it and pills, like, yeah, we about to turn
up.
That's not a good way to celebrate.
Right, exactly. And hopefully, you know, by his experience, he can come home and shed some light. Like, hopefully, you know, his music may change a little bit. I understand he's a young man, and it's a certain type of music and type of image that you got to portray, but hopefully, you know, the brother and the Smurda clique or the whatever they group is, they can drop some jewels, you know, on these young kids that look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing, I was listening to this brother named Charleston White. Now, this brother is an ex-con. I think he was involved in a murder case in Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, back in the day. He did time for the murder. He did time. He said he did some everything. Any crime you could commit, he said he basically did it. But this brother's home now. He been on the internet, kind of circulating, doing interviews, talking to folks, and he was talking about how, you know, just how the music made him do a lot of the stuff he did, because he was like, he grew up in a nice middle class family. It was just his mom and his brother, and they didn't really want nothing. It ain't like they had to get in this lifestyle. He was like, he was mostly influenced by the music, you know, some movies like Colors and Men in Society, some movies, but he was like, it was mostly the music. And he was like, you can tell me that Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and them wasn't gangsters. You know what I'm saying? We believed that they was gangsters,
right,
and they was really putting in work until we got older and we was like, okay, these people
it
are entertainers,
is,
you know, to a certain degree. But mm-hmm. his point was, he was believing and he was influenced by what these people was talking about. And in his own words, he said he started selling crack because of a Master P album or song or whatnot. You know, so I think it just made me evaluate, you know, how we kind of got to this point, even with the music and the influence, you know, how we got to this point and how a whole generation was basically lost during that era, because a lot of good people and a lot of good families were messed up because of the drug and crack game. And now, like I say, we know that it was all a setup and it was all planned, but too many of us fell for the trap, and it messed up a lot of families, a lot of kids, a lot of men, women, you know, just you name it. Entire neighborhoods was devastated by this. But now it's time to heal. You know what I'm saying? We got to keep it real so we can heal. We got to really evaluate our love with gang culture, with violence, with guns, with drugs. All that stuff needs to be reevaluated, you know. And don't get me wrong, because I'm not, you know, the moral police. I understand how the game go, but as I've gotten old and got kids, it's time to reevaluate the things that we you know, the things that we honor and the things that we hold up as something to aspire to be. You know what I'm saying? We got to reevaluate what is gangster, you know, what's
mm-hmm.
being real, what's a real nigga, yeah, a ninja. You know what I'm saying? Like, those
mm-hmm.
things really need to be reevaluated, because it's leading people down the wrong path. There's too many people in jail or dead trying to prove they was real. Trying to, you know, their pride got in the way. They was trying to do this or live up to an image when all they probably really needed was a hug. You know what I'm saying? They probably just needed somebody to talk to and just needed a hug or something. And then, you know, they wouldn't have did something crazy that cost them their life literally, or their life in jail, you know, behind bars.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just some of the things I was thinking about it. You know, as we was preparing for the show and whatnot. But yeah, you can respond and we can hit the call lines. Let's go.
Okay. Let me get to the call. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. You're talking
yeah,
about
sure,
the
please.
Former drug drillers. No, they owe
yes,
reparations.
Sir. Okay.
They owe
right.
reparations. Rappers
okay.
and pro athletes owe reparations too.
Mm-hmm.
Rappers' lyrics inspire certain behaviors which is detrimental. Pro athletes come up where you have to have a competition, so parents sacrifice taking their kids to practice, buying them balls and equipment. And in the long run, only a few make it to the big stage.
Right, right.
So what about all those children that was exploited and had to provide the competition to make one LeBron James? I mean,
right,
think about
right.
it. We come up with these all sorts of scenarios that whites owe reparations for things that they've done
do.
That cause these problems. Well, hey,
which
you got
do.
These problems being created by mm-hmm. people that look like you all over the place. Think about
right.
it.
And they're being victimized. Those are victims being victimized, though, in my opinion. But I want
yes.
to ask you this, though, Carla. I want to ask you this, though, Carla. Can you talk about, like, communities before crack and after crack, the devastation that particular drug? I know because before then you had your heroin and all that type of stuff, but I think crack was a special type of biological weapon that kind of decimated the community. But, I mean, did you notice any difference? Like, can you speak on that as far as pre-crack and then after crack came into inner cities or into black communities?
Well, what it is, see, the thing is this. Crack is so cheap, to my understanding, so it allowed people from the lower bottom of the socioeconomic class to become entrepreneurs involved in it. Before
right.
that, people got high on liquor like Ripple and Mad Dog 2020.
Right.
Well, that's legal
right,
buying
right.
at the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And the other stuff mm-hmm. you made mention, it was too expensive for people to get involved in unless you're coming from a certain, you know, clique.
Mm,
so,
right.
yes, based on that, crack did do a tremendous job on creating the violence and disrupting
mm-hmm.
the
right.
lifestyle, disrupting property values, disrupting schools, disrupting
right, right.
development in those mm-hmm. communities. So,
yes,
yes that's the way. And I tell you something else, too, blacks do. And this is why I come, you know, people say that back in the day you used to have the doctor and the lawyer lived in the community and so on and so on and so on. All right. Well, at some point in time, people had to move out of these conditions that was prevalent in these areas. And folks like to say they redline. Well, I keep telling you, in anything bad, there's always something good and vice versa. Redline tell you what
right.
not to move.
Yeah.
I mean, just face it. It tell you what not to try to raise a family if you want to have good schools. Now, we're not saying that, see, I don't blame anything on children. Children coming in the world wanting to enjoy life and be successful, especially as to what they are seeing, what they are being presented with.
Right.
But you vote for these politicians. Black politicians are treacherous. I'm going to give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that there should be something called school choice, right? And we know what that
mm-hmm.
means. And those two
right.
girls I seen over there at the mall the day that y'all was, I came over to get those melons. Those
mm-hmm.
girls look like they came from a very functional and respected family. Those two little girls,
mm-hmm.
they twins.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when they coming from that type of background, they don't deserve to be in an environment where other children are not coming with that same type of resource. And I'm sorry, it exists. And then, I mean, it does exist. But should they suffer? So their parents should have a right to put them in a place of education, whereas they would be challenged and in an environment with children of their like status. They like mine. And being that
right.
they are coming from a family that's economically sort of oppressed, well, the money should follow the children. All
right?
That's called
right.
vouchers. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. They had a D.C. voucher program in Washington. Obama's children went to Sidwell Friends School. cost $40,000 a year to go there. $39,000. Well, during Obama's administration, they'd done away with the D.C. voucher program, which allowed children who could manage the grade, and their parents just don't have the money for whatever reason. And we could talk about reasons until the cows come home. So why come they can't be able to have access to those funds that's being spent in a traditional setting, which is a damn near just as much as it would take to go to some of these private schools, elite settings? It's the parents' determination. Or I'm going to give you another example. You got an election coming up for mayor. Let me ask you, who are you voting for?
I'm not going to say, but I don't live in the city anymore. So.
All right. Well, who do you think that blacks that live in the city don't vote for?
I would probably say either Tashara Jones or Kara Spencer. They say both of those.
Well, they're going to vote for one, the Democrat, two, for the color of the skin. Come on, let's face it. See, we got to be able to face the reality. Democrats has controlled the politics in St. Louis for 72 years, since 1949. 72 years.
Right.
Okay, so they're going to vote for the party and the color of the skin. And we just got through telling you the education that would be good for those who have functional households. Well, she's against vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the paper, in an article. On charter school, she's against vouchers, and her child goes to a private school.
Right.
At least at the time that article was written. So if you voted for people who goes against your interests, then what do you expect to get? It's the old proverbial, one step forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the interest that's going to help you to be able to progress forward and to be able to provide for your family. If you can't provide for your family, what are you going to tell other people's with their family? They're going to look at you and see what you coming with, what you rolling with. You know, it's like Pearson saying, I'm going to teach you how to make $1 million, and they barely a thousandaire. Anyway, I let some other people talk. This is about all I wanted to comment on.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Yes, Appreciate you, Colin.
Thanks.
just real quick, if you're just joining us, family, we kind of went down an educational hole, but we're talking about, former drug dealers, game bangers, people, who did bids from the 80s and 90s and, caused different, you could say destruction to the neighborhoods. Do you think that they owe the black community an apology, black mothers, black fathers? Do you think they owe the community an apology for participating in that particular lifestyle, which we know in hindsight has caused, so much damage to our community that we're still to this day recovering from, to this day? Let us know. Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. Let's get it.
All right. Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. First of all, no, they should not be celebrated. I understand giving a little welcome home party to, get them up to speed. But like the other caller said, reparations. But I don't think the reparations should be come in a form of money. It should come in as community service and work in those fields of which they destroyed. So, And like Mufasa said, why an apology? Everybody apologizes nowadays. Apology ain't worth nothing.
Right.
Because why apologize for something that you meant to do? You meant to go out. You meant to go make them bad decisions that got you locked up. No one made you do that. You did that. So.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
Like reparations, like as far as community service, like they should have to do so much time. You know, if they was in there gang related, well, they should have to do community service working with gang youth. If they're in there for drugs, well, they should be doing community service in a, you know, with the drugs, rehabilitation and stuff. So but as far as being celebrated, no. And also at the same time, after they do so much time like that, they come out and act like they smarter than everybody else. But
yes, indeed.
But then I just look at him and said, "You did 18 years." He's like, "Yeah." And you think you smart? Yeah. I said, "No, you're not, because you did 18 years."
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Like, what about it? Because
they still need to be held accountable for the destruction that they've done. So. And just to come out, I'm out, and be free. No, you still owe time. So,
yes, indeed. Yeah,
but that's all I got to say.
Yes, indeed, appreciate you.
Yeah,
appreciate it. But that's the other thing, because it's like when you're in that game, if you get caught, then you lost. That's one of the things. You lost. You got caught. The object, I thought, was to stay out of jail and not get caught. And believe you me, there are people who have managed to escape long bids or not do any time at all. Like, where are those people? Those are the smart ones. Those are the ones that I believe, in my mind, should be celebrated, because you have people who actually use the criminal game for what I think, in my mind, it should be used for. It should be used to establish legitimate businesses so your kids and grandkids don't have to be in that lifestyle. And this is what all the other cultures did with crime. When you talk about the Irish, when you talk about the Italians, the Asians, the Chinese, whoever, they all use crime as a stepping stone to set up, do legitimate business, and then you leave that stuff alone. You know what I'm saying? You don't want your kids and grandkids to participate in that lifestyle. You need to parlay into a legitimate, lucrative business instead of just perpetuating, "Oh, my son, he going to be just like me, and he going to be moving past all this nonsense." No, the object is to do it, don't get caught, and move into something legitimate, you know, so you can make your paper. So what about those guys that in my mind, if there's a right way, they did it the right way. They didn't get caught, didn't do long bids, and they was able to set their families up, send kids to college, and start legitimate business, because those guys are out here. And I know this for a fact. You know, we don't hear about them much. We always hear about the guy that did 20 and came home, did 10 and came home. But there's some smart guys who outsmarted the game and was able to get their paper, take care of their family, and avoid even going to jail, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there, but I digress.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying too earlier, too, you know, an apology is nothing more than just your actions changing. You know,
right.
So,
right.
I think that's pretty clear. You know, nobody. Even if we're just talking about something as simple as a relationship, I mean, just saying I'm sorry ain't nothing. So that's pretty obvious.
Right.
You know, so an apology is nothing more than you changing your actions. That's what I was saying earlier. You know, that's really all. You know, that it is. So if they're not changing their actions, then it's like it's not really just about someone just saying, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, that, no, totally is way more to it than that. You know, but let's get on to the call. Area code 609-310. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment. Area code 609-310. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. First of all, I want to say I enjoyed the new coming to America, because I really appreciated so much talent that was in that show. He really did
his thing
with the talent, and the black talent at that. I really appreciated all of that. As far as these games go, nah, I don't think that they should be celebrated or none of that. I think they should be given back to, like the last caller said, they should be given back to those communities that they destroyed.
Right.
And everybody changed, you know. I'm not going to say jail changes, because there's a lot of people that go, like you said, in and out of jail, in and out of jail, in and out of jail. So it don't change. It's your mind. It's you that changes you. If you want to make a change, you can make a change. It got to be you. But if you're going to come out here and say, oh, I changed, that means that go out here and do something positive in the community. Don't come up with this bad music, because nowadays we don't need, there's so much going on in this world. These kids don't need their negativity. It's already bad enough that parents are being told how to raise their kids out here. Like, it's sad. That's why it's so much going on. It's not only the music that they listen to, it's the government that's telling you, oh, when we got, now come on, y'all, we all at that age that we got a little butt whooping. We not might got beat, but we got our butt whooped. These kids ain't, they don't, you can't even hit your kid without it being abused. That's crazy. Come on now. And that's what's wrong with the world now. They took church out of the school, all of that. When they did all of that, that's when everything, not only crack, but all of that played a big part in what's going on now in our community and what's going on now in our schools. A lot of that started with the government when they changed all of this stuff. But they didn't change it for the better. They changed it to keep us down. Pay attention. They changed it to keep us down. And we have to be smart enough to overcome that. That's why I keep saying we got to stick together. We got to learn to stick together, because, like you said, you got to outsmart the smart one. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it,
indeed.
You got to do it right. You got to outsmart the smart one.
Yes, indeed.
We can do it, like I said, you stick together, you know.
Right.
But it's,
that's an artifact.
It's corrupt out here, man.
Yeah, it is. It's corrupt, and all bets are off, because we see how the system works. We see that it's corrupt. We see how they do things, how they flooded our community with drugs, how you had little kids. I'm talking about little kids in the 80s and 90s making hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars. And we talking about 16, 17, 18, 20-year-olds. Like, that is insane. And then the amount of violence that came along with that, it was devastating, because these little kids had all this money. They didn't know what to do. They buying cars, jewelry, whatever, clothes, sneakers. And they just got all this money just disposable, but they don't know that, you know, that money probably should have been put into the community, into building up some type of center or something, as opposed to just you just got all this money and then you get popped and go to jail, and then your whole operation is done. And it was all for nothing, you know, because you really couldn't enjoy it. You were so paranoid watching your back from the jack boys, from your enemies, from the police. You really couldn't enjoy the money, you know? So, like I say, we have to be smarter than that and not fall for the bait, because that is attracted to a young kid that don't have much. You can sell a little drugs for an hour or two, and you making a lot of money. That's attractive to somebody who ain't got nothing, who ain't got no guidance. But that was the trick bag. You know what I'm saying? That was the trick bag. It looked good. The devil go always make it look shiny and nice. It's going to be the best thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go make it look real nice for you. You know, but you're not even knowing, not only is it devastating, it's going to eventually hurt you, but you hurting the community as well. You know what I'm saying? But again, we older, so that's all in hindsight. You know, I ain't really, knocking nobody hustle because I understand in time we do have to reevaluate, how we got caught up in this situation and how the kids are now really just running. You know what I'm saying? There's no code. There's no leadership, it seems like. A lot of kids is out here wilding out, you know, to a certain degree. But, you know, I digress. But right on, caller. Appreciate it.
Thanks, caller.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get our brother. Yeah, you want to get another call?
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's take one more. Area code 864. 340, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Peace and power. I got a comment just to, add
okay.
on to the dialogue.
Okay,
yes, indeed. Peace,
caller.
My name is Equanee. I'm calling from South Carolina. And as
yes,
you guys are speaking about this topic or this subject, the brother was just speaking about, of course, the children being in these situations and, the lack of leadership. And, well, I don't know
right.
about you guys. Where I grew up, a lot of leadership in the community, you could find that, or the so-called, quote-unquote, leadership that was in the community, you could find it at the church. And, of course, I feel like not only those people that are going back and forth in jail have a responsibility or duty, but those of us that are the parents, some of those children, the big brothers, the OGs in the community, a lot of times they didn't.
Right.
They say you see the young devils and, they become that way because of the old devils. So these systems,
right.
these things were already in place. And, When I look at the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, we almost know that the gangs are very important, okay? The gangs are and always have been very important, right? What we see, just like what the last sister was talking about, you see the government infiltration, right? You see that. You see
right.
now that
right.
you might have higher representatives that are in the game. They might seem to be thugged out and hard, but behind closed doors, they might have secret deals with the police to get certain things, certain, because we know these drugs aren't just dropped into our community. We do know that we don't have any planes, any of this expensive technology to now acquire all these amounts of drugs and guns and all this stuff. It's been cited that even in Chicago, on some alleys, they, they find just guns just sitting out there, right? So what we do
right,
know
right.
is that, this government, this system has always had an eye out for our potential warriors, potential messiahs, potential brothers and sisters that could change the world. So now they had to definitely preoccupy them. And the preoccupation, it was the one that served itself well as a necessity, because I came up, or I'm coming up in a time where we're telling our children, where some people are telling their children, it's okay for a young man to put on a dress. It's okay for this
right.
little girl to be who it is they want to be. You understand? This is the type of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? The young boy that is growing up and mama is not home and daddy is not home, and he's hearing songs about how I grabbed the keys to do this, and I bought me a Ferrari. This is more natural than a young boy putting on a dress. This is the reality.
Right.
So I'm not condoning
right.
that action or behavior, but when you are left in the quote-unquote project that we are in, these are some of the situations that we find ourselves in. And like I said, it's a natural thing for a young boy to want to help his mother out. So I know there have been
right.
plenty of
right.
cases. Even in the Tupac song, we talked about, hey, he stole rocks just to put money in his mama's mailbox. You understand? That tells the truth. You understand about the little boy getting picked on for him not having a certain amount of food? This is all socialism, the social economy that we're in at its finest. So we must be honest and understanding that the system that is now looking to wrong our little black boys, our black men, I'm not okaying any of the ignorant behavior that, you know, we now gravitate to and we become a part of. I'm not okaying any of that. Nor do I okay little boys putting on dresses. Nor do I okay a lot of other stuff. And I feel like not only them owe, you know, an apology or, you know, but at the same time, when they're going to jail and coming back from those long sentences, we do understand and know there is no system of correction there. They may say this is a correction, but a lot of times gangs are running amok more in prison than they are. They sell just as much drugs as it relates to survival and keeping money on their books and, you know, staying afloat. They do that in jail as well, with the assistance and help of the crooked prison guards, the correctional officers.
Right.
So this is something that, you know, I saw, you know, not where I've been to prison or anything, but I know people that actually have gone through those situations. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's only just another symptom that plagues us of what we see, going back to the government, going back to the white man, whoever, whatever it is, whatever it is that we call it. We do know who the bigger enemy is and what
That's
needs to happen. So I encourage those people to, you know, get your shit together. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, salute to the people, but even those people that are doing underhanded dirt in the community and never get caught, I think they owe an apology as well, because I think the more they get away with it, whether it be the old man trying to come on the young girls, or you understand, we have all these types of things that are plaguing our community that might lead one to do something else. So I definitely do agree with us correcting and getting our shit together all around. Excuse me.
That's right. That's right. Yes, indeed. No, that was right on, Carla. Because now's the time. Like I say, I started the call talking about this is healing. This is something that we got to do. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to wait on you know, white people or the white man to come in and correct us. This is something that we can do based on the role that we played in participating in it. Again, it was the cheese, the mousetrap. You know, they basically set up a mousetrap for us. It looked good. You can make some quick money, but it was devastating. And the only thing left, people was going to be dead behind it, or people was going to get locked up. And like you say, they've always wanted to stop the rise of a black messiah. And what better way to do it than to put drugs into the community, entice people, and then lock everybody up. So, again, we lost a lot of warriors to the crack game, to the dope game, to the gang culture. We lost a lot of warriors. We lost a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, a lot of geniuses, a lot of great people that came to this predicament or these circumstances and just, you know, just fell into it. You know, just went down that rabbit hole. And it led to nowhere. You know, they were sold the dream, you know, the lifestyle, and it didn't lead to nowhere, as we see in hindsight. But again, we're talking about young people, you know, a lot of people with no guidance, a lot of people with, you know, with no strong male figures there to just give them a hug, to talk to them. You know, you got mom there. You know, you got Nana there, you got Grandma there, but as far as a young man goes, you know, I think it's important for a young man to get love and guidance from another man. You see what I'm saying? That's different as opposed to, you know, you got to be all macho all the time and do this and prove yourself and your pride so big that a mug can't even step on your shoe, and say excuse me without you going off or doing something because, you know, you're so emotional, you're so hurt by what's ever going on at home or whatnot, you know. So, but those are issues, again, that we can deal with and we can heal from if we have those conversations with each other, you know, and see how we can progress and learn from the crack area. Again, the crack area, I would count it from, you know, from the 80s on up into the early 2000s, where the most damage was done. When you talk about the killings and you talk about the amount of people going to prison, families broken up, all that stuff, you could put, you know, most of it in that 20-year span of 1980 to 2000, you know, from what I've seen. So, and we seeing the after effects of that, you know, 40 years later, 30 years later, we're seeing the fallout from that. But it's going to be up to us again to do the healing ourselves. We ain't got to wait on nobody to have these conversations. And we figure out what's gangster, what's real, and we can promote something better, you know, for our kids and grandkids and whatnot. So, but yeah, right on, caller. That was right on time. Appreciate you.
That's right. That's, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's like entrapment,
yeah,
if you ask me.
Yo, it's definitely entrapment. It's definitely entrapment. You know, it's definitely entrapment, and it was deliberate. You know, you flood the community with the drugs and then turn around and pass two of the most destructive crime bills of all time, like the one in 94, and there was one before that that they passed as well. So they knew what they were doing. It was deliberate.
Yeah.
And, again, it was to stop the rise of a black messiah, which has always been their goal since, you know, we came over here. And like I say, a lot of good people went down behind that, you know, and they just came to, you know, I guess worldly desires or whatnot, or, you know, looking for something better. It started off trying to get something to eat, trying to feed yourself, trying to take care of your mom. You know, you seeing all this glitz and glam on TV, and naturally, a young kid is going to want a part of that life to some degree. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
and
what
then
they
some
do,
people
they
just
create
went further
situations.
Than others. Yeah.
They'll right. create situations in the community that make you almost like where you're in a starving position. You need a lot of things. You're lacking resources and things like that. So
right.
if I kidnap you and starve you and I put you in this room with a plate of food, and I had cameras
exactly.
around, I'd be like, okay, if you touch this food, you're going to jail. Then,
exactly.
you know, if I leave and I'm starving, it's like, what you...
Most people are going to eat.
Most people are going to go eat, and then you're going to come back and be like, yeah, I checked the cameras, and I saw you
mm-hmm.
ate this food,
yeah.
you're going to jail.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang, I was already
yeah.
suffering anyway. Now you're just going to
anyway,
put me in jail.
So what?
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So
yeah,
it makes it, you know, like entrapment.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely entrapment. But like I say, now in hindsight, we know. So now the next generation, you know, our kids and whatnot, the kids behind us, they cannot fall for that particular trap. Like that's
mm-hmm.
an old, you know, they cannot fall for that same thing. And we cannot have another generation. That's why, again, they turn around and locked a lot of people up. But look at the weed laws now, the marijuana laws. You're sending people to jail for marijuana. Now it's big business. You got
yeah.
companies, it's legal, and it's big businesses where people are making lots of money. But at the same token, just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you was locking mugs up.
They locked the greater deal of our community up for marijuana.
Yes.
Now it's them that's using it. So they like, well, shoot, we can't lock them up. Now
yes.
they already locked up. So we better change
right.
these laws.
Exactly. Change the laws. So now it's legal. So, again, we got to peep the game that they play, understand it, you know, and move accordingly. You know, you got to move accordingly. And you know that a lot of that stuff is not to the benefit. And then again, with us, we're going to get the harsher punishment. You know what I'm saying? That's where the disparity in jail time with the crack cocaine versus powder cocaine, right? They looked at powder cocaine as, oh, it's just an addiction. You know, we could send them to rehab, Betty Ford or whatever rehab clinic they go to. You know, it's no big deal. That's just cocaine. You know, it's nothing. That's just a rich man's drug. We'll send little Timmy to rehab. But with crack, no, we locking everybody up. Those are criminals. If you on crack, you're a criminal. If you do that, you're a straight criminal. We locking you up. So that was the type of games that they were playing with us, and you would get more time if you had some crack locks versus Timmy in the suburbs with a bag of powder cocaine. They was throwing the books at mugs for nonviolent crimes. If they just had crack and that was your third strike, you was done. You know what I'm saying? You was done. They was throwing football numbers at you. And as a kid, I mean, that's pretty much you institutionalized after that. You getting 10, 15, 20 years, you're institutionalized. Now, you can recover, of course, and make good out of that situation. But, you know, what are the statistics on that? You know, 9 times out of 10, you probably going to go in there and become a better criminal. And then the vicious cycle starts. You know, your kid's gone. And the kids don't have a father. And then it's just a vicious cycle, you know. So, but again, now that we know these things, times have passed, it's time for us to move smarter. And I've been noticing, like I say, a lot of people, OGs, and even some of the, like I say, the young rappers, they've been doing bids and coming home. And, you know, some of them are trying to do good work, write books, do lectures, do talks with kids, and trying to, you know, I guess that is a form of an apology. Like you say, change behavior is a form of an apology. So if they're doing the right thing, and it don't have to be on a large scale, if they're just doing things within, you know, their family or their kids, if they just come home and be in their kids' life and take care of their kids, that's a win. You know what I'm saying? That could be looked at as a win, you know. So it can go from small all the way up to the big scale where you know, talking to kids at community centers and juvenile centers and things like that, or you could be handling your business and making that change as you come home, just trying to leave the community better than when you left it. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's kind of...
That's what I'm saying. Everybody won't have a big microphone to speak, you know, in front of a mass of people. Some people will be on a more smaller scale, but it's still fine, like you
Both
said. If they're
right.
Yeah, exactly. The majority of people won't have the big mic, you know, so... You know, but you lead by example, and it, you know, like you said, as long as you're doing it, and that's great, you know. That's what's important. I think it's up to the communities, the people that's within the community that was blessed to not fall victim or to escape the trap and come out, you know, strong and still able to change and do things more positively. You know, I think the people should be more like the Rosa Parks in a sense. You know, once you done helped yourself or you done went through something, then it's good to be able to reach back into the community to someone else that's stuck and help them, you know, bring them out.
Right,
you know,
that's
so
a fact.
We have to be a resource to others. I think people's mentality all the time is all about how can I come up? How can I get this? You know, when you get more, when you give more.
That's a fact.
So if you want to gain more, you have to be willing to let something go. You have
that's
to be willing to release. and give.
That's a fact. Right. You know, they say whatever you want, you got to give it away in the universe.
Right.
You give it away.
Yeah.
So that goes
for
money.
More love,
that goes
give more
love.
Love.
Give love.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Yeah.
So
that's how the universe works. That's a bomb.
Yeah, we can't have the mentality of, okay, this year 2021, you know, it's about the bag, it's about me. No, you have to change your perception and think, okay, think more, you know, in unity, you know, like, what can I do that can help? You know, we don't always have to think, okay, what I'm about to do for myself. If I do something, be more inclusive. Our plans have to be more inclusive. You know, if I'm going to think of something, how can I include other people in this? You know, be more of an inclusive think instead of individual.
You gain more. That's a fact. Them were some jewels, man. Them were some definite jewels. So you do get more by giving more, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with, you know, when we talk about, you know how the drug game, it was just so much money. At some point, the greed, it got out of control. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just got out of control because it started where you just wanted to get something to eat. But how much do you need to eat? You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
And then it started spiraling out of control. Then you just, now you're just doing it to get another pair of shoes. Now you need another outfit. Now you need a car. Mm-hmm. Now you're doing it that. And then it just keeps going on and on. But like you say, most people don't ever take the time to consider other people, you know, to consider the community, you know.
Yeah.
And some people do, you know.
A
lot of people don't. They don't consider
it
just about me.
But I think, I think that part about what you were just describing as far as basically not being satisfied and, you know, okay, it started, okay, I want to make sure I get something to eat. Then it expands to, okay, hey, I need this and that. I think that's just a way that humans think. I think because we are naturally spirit, that's within a physical body. Physical means we have, there's boundaries, you know. So I think our natural spirit is one to want to expand because that's just naturally spiritually you don't have boundaries. When we're trapped in a body with boundaries, you know, I think that's just our natural way of expanding and expressing the desire to expand. Because if I put you in the bathroom and say, hey, you got to stay in here, you're going to have a fit. You know, if I kept you in the bathroom for 10 days or for a period of time, you're not going to like it. If I be like, okay, well, I'll let you just be in the room, put you in a bigger room, but that's just it. You'll be happy for a minute. And, you know, but then you're going to want to go sit on the rest of the floor of the house. Then you're going to want to go downstairs. Then you're going to want to go out the house. But if I give you the earth, you're going to start looking, you know, to the planets, to the stars. If I say you can, if I make you ruler of the earth, you're going to start looking to want to be, you know. So I think it's always something in us to want to expand,
to want more.
But
the key
is with wisdom, like I was saying earlier, we have to apply these wisdom. We have to know that about ourselves and understand that, so we'll know how to operates, how to use it. Right. Everything is like a tool, you know. So if we understand
right.
those things about ourselves, then we'll know how to control ourselves. See, a lot of people is operating from a lack of control. We're not conscious
right.
doers.
Right.
We just, you know, spontaneous, sporadic. We're not, we're, a lot of times
right.
we're doing things. Exactly.
Yeah, we're reacting, being proactive
yeah.
instead of being proactive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully, family, this has been a good dialogue. You know, hopefully, you know, we've all learned something, and you know, shared our thoughts, and you know, contemplate. Just think about, you know, how we moving out here as a group, as individuals, and how do we heal from the damage. You know, that was done via the crack era, the gang era, you know, all that stuff that was going on in the community. How do we, you know, how do we heal from that? How do we move forward? I think it's organically going to happen, but I think these conversations are definitely necessary, you know, to get the ball rolling, to start
mm-hmm.
taking... You know, taking responsibility for our part. You know, what did we do? The part that we may have played or whatnot. And then, you know, trying to change our behavior to correct that. And that's all for the individual, because only, you know, only the individual knows, you know, what they've done or whatnot or what they didn't do. But we all have a, you know, responsibility, you know, to ourselves and to our family to leave things better than how we found it. You know, we don't want to mess it up. You know, at the worst, just leave it like it is, but don't mess it up. You know what I'm saying? It'd be great if you could leave it better, but just don't mess it up. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we have, family. Thanks, everybody. Thank all the callers. I'm going to let Queen Rigel wrap us up, but we'll see y'all next week. But I'm going to let you wrap us up.
Okay, yeah, well, thanks, everybody, for calling in. So I guess I would like to just say, leave one, I guess just one recommendation, and I'll just kind of refer back to something I already said earlier, that just try to be more, when you're doing things, I think we should all just try to be mindful and try to think more on an inclusive level, and I think we'll see better results. That's for those that may be, you know, wanting to get more out of life, then we include things and be willing to let go to receive. So I just like to just throw that little out there. But we do like to thank everybody for supporting us and calling in with us. We truly appreciate you, and we want you to continue to support us. Check us out next Sunday at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, have any show topic ideas, please send us an email at collectthemindsyahoo.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. And we just like to see you see you tomorrow. I must don't want to stop.
Okay,
we'll see you next Sunday. We'll see
Sunday.
You Sunday. Peace.
Yes, indeed. Peace.
Peace, peace, peace.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like.